Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and I'm on my laptop.
Okay, my name is Will Campos, and I'm typing stuff on my laptop because I'm a screenwriter.
Will Fingers Campos. He's the one with the fingers.
Will Fingers Campos.
That's the sequel Will, they call me.
My name is Matt Arnold, and I am sipping a cool Diet Coke brought to you by Coca-Cola someday. Come on, Coke. Make heaven heist. We will make it. Instead of stealing money, they're stealing Coca-Cola because there's no Coca-Cola in the world.
But
except for in heaven.
Do you want to have a movie for Coke that has crimes against Coke in it? Maybe
yes.
But then you wouldn't want it to be like they're stealing Pepsi, because then why aren't they stealing the classic, cool, refreshing taste of Coca-Cola?
Coke, if you look at the first scene, we already changed it so that he's no longer smoking a cigarette. He's drinking a cool Coca-Cola, and they're all putting a Coca-Cola in front of the in front of the prayer shrine.
Beautiful.
All right.
We're offering a crisp, refreshing Coke to Kai Shen, the god of wealth and prosperity.
All right.
So we're going to... It's a little Coca-Cola polar bear.
All right. Very four good. Scenes in. We've already sold out. Gentlemen, the movie's called Heaven Heist. It's about a crew of thieves heisting the Celestial Bank of Heaven. It's Coco meets Point Break meets... Asia.
Meets Asia.
Usually Freddie says this part.
See, now it's awkward when I don't, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So what happened in scene three, Will?
So in scene three, well, when we last left our heroes, they were making off with their ill-gotten gains from the currency store. And then we got a little peek into Jin's backstory as he received a call from his mom and hung up on her in the middle of their getaway. And then got mad at his brother when his brother called him, because we find out through the phone call that he's like not coming home for dinner. His mom's worried about him, so she calls his brother, and then he gets so angry when his brother calls that he throws the phone out of the car, and it hits a police officer, who then engages them with an in a chase.
All right.
And today, the car chase.
Yeah, and I was promising the audience that we would get past the car chase into the next scene, because the car chase should be very short, so we'll see what happens.
Of course we did. Okay, scene four.
Start the clock, Freddy.
The clock starts. Where the fuck is my phone? It's just, yeah, okay.
It's a podcast. You can just say it starts and then you can...
The clock started, everyone. Look at that. Tick, tick,
oh,
tick, tick.
Oh, wow. All right. We're All already right. 10 we're seconds already... in.
Okay.
Let's talk about what happens after the car chase. Well, I guess we should talk about the car chase.
Well, let's... No. Okay, just to see where we're going. So this is our first look at Jin's skills behind the wheel,
yes.
Right? Which I assume
is
will come...
Is he a good car boy or a bad car boy?
He's a good car boy.
I would assume he's a pretty good car boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's driving around. This obviously is going to climax with him wrecking the car when an old lady steps out in front of the road and he has a chance to run her down to escape the police. But instead of committing that awful crime against morality, he wrecks the car instead.
Yes.
And the money all blows up. And
that one act of kindness. Essentially, he does one act of kindness that's enough to at least get him to the gates of heaven.
Yes.
Before he dies.
That's a draw, right? Because he just robbed a bank. Like, right here.
Yeah, but I feel like in the karmic scale of things, like robbing a bank and like, I guess he's not really saving an old lady's life. He's just more not choosing to kill her.
It's like the trolley problem. You answered the trolley problem right. Welcome to heaven.
Look, it's not up to us to judge. Heaven made this decision.
That
okay?
is actually a good point, because it's not like he's... It's like, if I have a gun and I don't shoot you with it,
yeah.
does that mean I saved your life?
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, because that's not that. That is like, he is, I mean, she's, you know, one, make her jaywalking. Like, she's breaking the law, so like, she deserves what's coming to her. and then two, he's driving, and he's got all this money and the people, and like, he is choosing his own bodily harm and
yes.
sacrifice to stop.
It's like it's like in Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Remember part? The beginning of Lawrence of Arabia?
Oh, yes.
He's driving the bike.
Yeah. And he's
zooming around like an idiot. And
yeah.
then the two kids are on the road and he wrecks.
Yeah. Or like Video Game High School, season 3, episode 4, when Freddie Wong.
I like that when we killed Freddie off in Video Game High School, it was like, oh, let's do the Lawrence of Arabia thing. But instead of it being like two kids are on the road, it's just he's shitty at riding a bike and got into an accident. Can you imagine the opening of Lawrence of Arabia if the scene was just Lawrence speeding around on a bike and then he just died because he was stupid and wrecked it? Like without the kids being there? Like yeah. that would have been a weird way to start that movie.
But the point is, like, he doesn't actually, I feel like he gets to the gates of heaven, Like, it's not like he's like...
Yeah, he's in line.
He's in line.
Yeah.
He hasn't made... He's not judged yet.
He's seen people get judged, and he's like, oh, yeah. Ooh, it turns out it's real,
well,
guys.
Okay, so he does... Okay, so...
He should be in line, and everybody has a sheet of paper that has all your good deeds and all your bad deeds, and he's looking at his, and it's very clearly weighted on the bad deed side, and he looks at the guy in front of him, it's all good deeds, and then like he's like, hey, buddy, what's that over there? And he switches their papers. He's like, hey. And, like, even in line in prison.
Okay. Well,
but then he looks at it, and it's like magically turned back to his. He's like, fuck.
Well, no, here's the thing, too, because here's a chance for us to kind of lay in some of the security, right? This is the scene where it's like they first get a glimpse of like what's behind the curtain, but also just an idea of like, is this going to be a hard thing to get into?
Well, we are jumping a little bit ahead.
We need to know where we're going. Again, yeah. We're Wallace and Gromit here putting the track down as we're speeding along. So the way we had kind of talked about it was that, yes, this good deed gets him into heaven. Yeah. Like the way we'd always talked about this was not that he is at the gates deciding whether he's going to get in, but that he wakes up and he's in line because he has to see the money, right? Like Yes. That's the next thing. So even if he's outside, you know, it feels like it would be that the good deed gets him past the gate.
Well,
right?
I think he's kind of, first of all, like, I don't know what.
Oh, so
that's a very Western version of heaven. There's like a gate or whatever.
Yes.
I always kind of imagined in my head the way it would feel would be he would like open his eyes and it's almost like an Ellis Island type scene. Like he's like spinning around, there's people everywhere. He's like, hey, where do I go? He's like, hey, buddy, you're new here. You gotta go down to checkout or whatever. And as he's walking to checkout, you know, you see like all these glimpses of life in heaven, like walking past him, like two people sharing like a, you know, yogurt or whatever. And then like the bank's opening
up.
It's like, you know, it feels like a Mos Eisley scene kind of.
When the fuck have you ever seen two people sharing a yogurt?
It's called Every Day in My Happy Marriage, Freddy.
You guys both take a spoon into a yogurt.
Neither of us really like yogurt.
Where the fuck did that come from?
I'm just thinking of positive things.
So no, I'm with you. At the very least,
Matt and Ashley have a non-traditional yogurt marriage.
She does Greek. I do.
Everyone throws their spoons into a bowl.
Oh boy. So what you get at though, I think, is interesting, which is. The afterlife is commercial and is materialist, right? Because you need money, you need cars, you need, you know, stuff to survive, at least in our vision, the vision of sort of Asian heaven, which is, you mm-hmm. know, requires the burning of Joss paper and such.
Yeah, because I don't know if we've talked about it in this, but to clarify, like Joss paper is the fake money that when you burn, it supposedly goes up to heaven.
Into
but
heaven.
It's not just money they do.
Everything. It's a lot.
Burn like models or representations of cars.
The iPhone got really popular, so then it's like you burn fake looking paper iPhones because that's what's going to get
the
over
idea
there.
Of being like when you're in heaven, all of a sudden like an iPhone pops up in your hand because
your relatives burned
an iPhone.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, economy in heaven of various objects.
That's materialist. Way more materialist than the Christian understanding, right?
Yes.
So that to me suggests a certain degree of one. The world of finance, the world of like lines and bureaucracy and queues and you know what I'm saying? Like that seems to be like, it feels like it pushes it more in that direction.
Heaven probably has like a pretty strong like barter system also. Like people switch things. Saying, like, well, man, my grandkids keep burning iPhones.
We
saying, I need more iPhones.
Well, Matt, so we were saying in the discussion of the economics of such a situation where tons of new cash is just getting thrown into an economy, that there probably would be a central banking authority that would need to regulate and like dispense it out or what, right? Like, because otherwise it would be unmanageable. You'd have you'd have billionaires walking around. The value of currency would be ridiculous.
Yeah, there's definitely a central bank in heaven.
Yeah.
Which is what they're going to run.
Does heaven use the gold standard?
No, they use the...
Okay, all right.
Oh, hello, guys. Do not search Asian heaven on Google. That's a lot of... there's a massage place in Miami called New Asian Heaven Massage.
So, for what this is... Freddie, see if this pings, if this checks out with you a little
Hit
bit.
Me.
All right, this is from religionfacts.com/Chinese-religion/afterlife. So, just take this with a giant grain of salt. Chinese conception of the afterlife is based on a combination of Chinese folk religions, Taoism, and...
Taoism.
Taoism, sorry. Buddhism. At the moment of death, it is believed that one's spirit is taken by messengers to the god of walls and moats, Cheng Huang, who conducts a kind of preliminary hearing. Those found virtuous may go on directly to one of the Buddhist paradises, to the dwelling place of the Taoist immortals, or to the 10th court of hell for immediate rebirth.
We're playing fast and loose with it, right? Two, no one knows. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
No, I'm aware. I mean, we've talked about
it. To
this
me,
before.
Here are the elements that are present in... at least in my cultural upbringing and my understanding of like Chinese heaven. Number one, it is, so reincarnation is part of it, right? The idea that you can reincarnate. And that karmically reincarnation, it's a Buddhist side of it, right? The karmically reincarnation can kick you back as a lower being or a higher, et cetera, mm-hmm. right? That does beg the question that it's like, if you're not getting any more handouts from your ancestors, it's like, well, I guess it's time to reincarnate, just roll them cosmic dice and see where I end up. But at the very least, right, there's that option, right? So there's the option of reincarnation. There is the apparent necessity of material goods and wealth for your own survival. To me, what I always got from that was it always felt like heaven was just like, it's just like our world again. Like it sort mm-hmm. of seemed like that. There definitely is the idea of karma, the idea of like, you know, if you're good, you get good things. If you're bad, you get punished for it. Mm-hmm. So there is a sort of heaven, hell, you know, good, bad dichotomy that you have to face. There's the idea of judgment. There's the idea of like, you know, that, you know, one of the phrases that I heard a lot, you know, from my relatives and stuff growing up is that like, oh yeah, heaven can see this, you know, like heaven's watching you, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have eyes, they know what you're doing, you know? So there's the idea of like, if not a specific, you know, the idea of like a Christian God, but the idea of like the concept of a higher plane can pass judgment on you, right? Was sort of that. I think you can mix and blend because in the same way, which is why I think Hong Kong is such an interesting place, is that it is this mixture of British colonialism, right? Mm-hmm. And Chinese and Asia. To me, some of the ideas of like, you know, the idea of like the British, like we all stand in lines because that's what the Brits do. They queue, right? Like I think it feels like it should be present in this.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably should deep dive at some point. I'm looking at like Buddhist heaven, and there are several heavens, but like, for example, there's one Treastriumsa, which resembles Olympus of Greek mythology, is actually referenced in Dragon Ball Z's version of heaven, is essentially based off of this, but it's like a big mountain and is like a city and is the highest heaven that still has connection to the physical plane. But there's various heavens in Buddhist, just like there's the 10 different courts of hell, which is similar to kind of like the 9 circles of hell in mm-hmm. Western, you know, literature. So it's like, again, it does feel like regardless for like the plot purpose, it does have to be like a city.
Yeah, I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm just trying to, we got to figure out how it works. Like, we got to figure out how our version of it works, right?
To me, if it's heaven, it does feel like it'd be a vaguely picture, like the most traditional version, like ignoring any sort of like religion or whatever, like a universal view of heaven, like for people is like, it is like, right, it's like what you idealize as perfect. Like
the eternal reward, so to speak.
So like, you know, if it was, you know, Pleasantville, you know, that sort of utopian is like a 1950s suburban heaven. It is like perfect. There's a perfect mayor. Everybody's happy. Everybody's got the house they want. Everybody's got the car they like. It's like a very 1950s consumerist American version of heaven, more or less. So like for this, it does feel like what is like the picturesque version of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it feels like it'd be, you know, like flowing rivers and like, you know, people live in the suburb part.
It's like a floating metropolis wonderland a little bit, you know, where it's natural beauty.
Is it floating in heaven? Is it floating on water?
It's floating in the clouds, baby.
Floating in the clouds?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there like cool like cloud chariots and stuff?
No, I don't think so. I think because, again, you still have cars.
No, stuff matters.
You still have cars. To me, it is a idealized version of what we've already seen. Like I think Good Place does a pretty good job of being like, yeah,
I mean, to me, that's what I mean. Like, practically, I do feel like the beginning, it is you're coming into an Ellis Island type situation. Like, somebody shows up, just like, yes, in the Good Place, they do the bureaucratic, like, office version. Like, I think you show up in essentially what is this port, especially if you can do, there are different layers. If you want to at least run with that, because we are talking about different layers of hell, like, there are different parts of heaven, which is not abnormal in a lot of different cultures and religions. There are, like, different sectors of heaven, like, depending on how good you are. Like, if you're freaking enlightened, you're like in a different layer of heaven. Whereas like, if you know you're a good person, you're probably living in this place that feels more like our world, but heavenly. So like, I feel like there is a opening hustle bustle area. This is also where the currency is exchanged. You know, this is a port of entry to heaven. So
is what Hong Kong is, right? It was a port.
Yes.
Okay. Right? All right. Okay. So you have, and again, we're not even getting to this scene. But I'm just again to try to figure out the trajectory of it. If this is again your Ellis Island, like what you're playing is like customs.
Yes.
Like, is essentially if you've died, you're in the waiting area going in a line to, again, it's like when you go to LAX and you show up at Tom Bradley International, like there's a line to get in before they let you into this country, essentially, right?
Yes.
And it's like almost like you would give it kind of a terminal-esque feel that this is where people are coming in. And then there are all of these officials that are working the line to get in, the customs office, essentially.
I feel like it'd be cool to even like that he comes in on like maybe like
a ferry, like yeah. Right, like because the Macau ferry comes. It's like I remember you actually have this. If you ever go to Macau, you have to go back through like the immigration thing. But it's fun the idea because this is a port city. The idea you're floating on the clouds and you're just like in a normal ass ferry. It's like, where are we going? It's like, yeah, we're going to Asian heaven. It's like, what about that boat? It's like, yeah, they believe in the other stuff. They're going the other place. You know, it's like the idea that there's also this plane of existence has like boats going to other places as well.
Yeah, it's port of entry.
And you get a little bit of, like the river Styx. It's like, yeah, okay. It's like a little bit of a.
And when the boat lands. Like, you know, the bridge drops and all the people start walking out and it's all people who just recently died. But there's again, those boats also, yes, carrying. Again, there is some form of economy in the afterlife or whatever. But things get transported, like the cars that people have burned. This is also like where this stuff goes and stuff. And people get sent off.
It's well, like, you wouldn't gotta go have currency month. Going in. You just died. No one's burned any money for you yet.
No, what I'm saying is.
But if it's a port, right? It's a port will receive both goods and people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. People burn the money.
Yeah.
There's the passenger ship,
yeah.
Which carries the people. And then there's a cargo ship, which yeah. carries the goods, yes. Right? The money, the docks, essentially, yeah. Right?
The ship of souls and the ship of stuff.
The ship of souls and the ship of stuff. Okay. So in that case, yes, then what Jin sees that it makes him go, holy shit, heaven is loaded with fucking money is... all of this stuff getting offloaded and it's like Bugattis and
yeah, well, yeah.
Do you know what yeah, I mean? Yeah, like yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. all of this
yeah, yeah, it's
stuff.
Gold,
is,
it's pallets of golds, Bugatti Veyrons. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's Lambos. Like,
yes.
What is that? Yeah. By the way, I love the idea of, you know, cause he's going to be disoriented and he's like, oh, what's going on? And it's a very, to me at least, from my experience, a very sort of Hong Kong thing where the guy who he's trying to talk to is just trying to read a fucking newspaper. He's like, listen, I've died like four times. This is my fourth time around. Like, yeah, whatever, kid. Like, you know, like, it's like, oh, first time for you, whatever. Like, what's that? It's like, oh, God. And he's like trying to just flip through his newspaper on the ferry. It's like very like, listen, I'm trying to
you
do
could
thing.
Also do the, like, if we want, you can do, they do a very good job of this in Papillon, which yeah, yeah. is when... Steve McQueen, when Papillon is going to the prison, like they can't have Steve McQueen ask a bunch of dumb questions about what happens in the prison,
yeah,
right?
Because so he's cool.
He's just sitting there looking tough. And then there's like a kid in front of him asking an old timer all the questions that the audience
that's
needs
good. That's
to
good.
Know.
No, that's great. You do I some was, teen where it's like, it's too early for me to die.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All I was doing was vaping. Turns out you hit some bad juice, kid.
Hey, man. Okay.
And then when you cut back, the like, vape epidemic kills thousands.
I shouldn't have tried that backflip on my BMX bike. It's like, oh, man.
So this car chase then is going to end with him waking up on a boat?
You can literally start with a flash to white, and then as he opens his eyes, he's like getting taken off a boat or whatever. We can get to like the specific imagery as we get there. But I feel like, yes, a port
like
city
the,
and
to
being
be fair,
sent
I like
to-
a quick scene of transition where it's like he wakes up like and he's like, you know, in a ferry with a bunch of people like
yeah, let it play
around.
For a little moment for the audience to be like, where is he? You know, I mean, you're gonna know because it's called Heaven Ice, but it's like, you know, you're on a boat and it's kind of like, yes, there's no ocean sound outside, it's just like bright light
so
outside.
He's on a, if he's on a boat, he's on a boat with a bunch of other people who just died,
yeah,
right,
yes,
like the is it essentially like you wake up in a seat, like you've just,
yes.
like you nodded off on
yeah.
this train, essentially.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you're like, oh, and then you wake up and then you're, so there would be a bunch of other people all freaking out, wondering where they are. Wouldn't
yeah.
there be?
Yes. I mean, there's a few things we could do in a, if you want to have fun with it. Like you could do, he wakes up and it's all empty. And the guy's,
you could
like,
do
and the guy's like, yeah, it's been a slow day today. And then a ton of people just appear. And it's like, well, it must have been an airplane crash. Like, it's just like in that moment, you see other people like appear.
You could also do like, you could do, hear me out. You could do, it's an airplane and he wakes up and he's like, what the fuck? He's in the sea and everyone else is, and like, you know, like they have those like Delta videos that like play on your seat about the airplane and it's like, you have died, welcome to the afterlife. Yeah, and then it's like
you can do that on a boat too.
And there's something about the screen right in front of you on the plane which is good. The reason I like the boat is because he's going into water, there's a certain, you know, like
yeah,
in the water,
I like Hong Kong,
sort of
I like playing, I like
the river Styx.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like it's a little bit of a joke, it's a little bit of a reference to Hong Kong as a city. Yeah, so to me, it's also like you could even have like the old timers on the train might be like, you know, the spirits that are bringing you along. There's right. It's their gig to just be like, all right, explain to these fucking confused people, you know, or you also play depending on how the way the act or the actor is. Right. Because like, if you wake up and it's just like, oh, did I just dream this weird dream about my life? Am I a butterfly dreaming I was a man? Right. Like that sort of thing. Then yeah. you buy that people are calm because you're in a kind of state of the confusion. Like you don't have to play. You just, it's about how you play it.
So, yeah, it's not just a bunch of screaming people.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You can just be like, huh, what's going on? And then, you know, you can have like, it's like, you know, you have the guy at the front of the boat be like, all right, everyone, you're dead. Sorry. But you're gonna be.
Oh, you could also do. You could almost. Yeah, because I kind of want to avoid that because like not just Good Place, but everybody is like the video or somebody telling you everything. Because he also do an interesting. Depending on how he appears, like if he is falling, you kind of do like a match cut where like you know he's his head like he flings his head back and like hits the back of the chair and he's on this boat mm-hmm. and then you can see other people like. Appear and clearly what's their final moments like somebody next to him just like appears and it's like an old man he's got his hand outreached like clearly he was like holding his wife's hand as he died and it looks like you have another person like appear and they're like have their hands up like they're screaming and they just look around confused and you're like oh these are all the people like literally a second before they die and he starts piecing it together and he's like
one guy has pants down by his ankles and
yeah, he's got his hand in his crotch oh and he looks around he's like that makes sense. He's like, oh, shit. Forgot my safe word.
I think it's important that he gets into heaven, mm-hmm. right? Because we also are establishing how are these criminals going to get into heaven, right? Yeah, if they want to rob heaven, they have to be able to get in. Yeah. Here's what I would say. I would say that it feels like the flow of that scene is he gets there, right? And he's like, play the drama of like, oh, fuck, I'm going to hell.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's what he should be feeling as he's walking up to this line. And, right, like, there's the, like, are you going to, and most people are going to hell, right? Like, most people, and then he's like, it gets up to him, and they're like, but you saved this old lady. Congratulations, you're getting into heaven.
Yeah,
right?
I like the idea of, like, the karmic scale. Like you stand and your soul is weighed by the weight of everything.
He's literally watching
and like
it.
You see it. And it's like it's basically if it's in the middle, it's like you're neutral, right? So if it's neutral, you see it. You see one of each. You see a bunch of people going there, and one guy's like, "It's like, oh my god, where are they going?" It's like, they're going to hell. It's okay. They suffer for a while, and then they come back as an ant, like you know, like sort of thing. And then you see this, but he gets on, and it's like wavering, and it's like right in the middle, and they're like, oh, hold on, oh.
I don't know if it's quite like Harry Potter-esque, or I'm just trying to think of visually. No, like if you had the scales, it's like these two like bags. They look like bags of gold, but they're like all your deeds, and they start coming out of them. And like the bad bag is like clearly getting weighed down. And you can like see glimpses, like you're right. You're seeing like flickers of memories, kind of shooting in and stuff. And then it's like clearly he's going to hell. And then like then you see like this old lady like crossing the street and it swerves and goes whoop, and then like the bag gets weighed down. It's like, whoa, that was a close one, buddy.
Yeah, welcome to heaven. So then they. Stamp his passport. Maybe it's just he sees the gates open.
Yeah.
And then as the gates of heaven are opening, he gets yanked out is one thing you could do. He needs to see the money. And he also needs to have some kind of way of believing that he could get the money back from heaven. That's kind of that's my only trick about it. Do you know what I mean?
The audience needs to understand that money that's burnt here goes to heaven. I think he can make the leap of logic that there must be. Like, I feel there must be some way to get it back.
So, yes. And then they need to figure out some way to get it back in order for them to commit.
That's why
he goes to talk
to his brother, who is spiritual, and starts figuring it out.
Okay, yes.
Because then the brother can plant, like, it's this day is when the spirits, they've said, the Buddhist texts say that, you know.
Yeah. Yes, let it be like a crazy plan at first. They're like, what? No, that doesn't, when there's no heaven. Because like,
they would test it, right? They would test it with something small.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, all right, we'll deal with that later.
Okay, so yes, he gets into heaven. He gets 50.1% of good person and 49.9999% of bad person. Like, oh, I guess you're in the gates open. And he sees the Times Square of heaven.
And then
there's a big clock sound. And he looks and it's the Central Bank of Heaven hits 12. And just the doors open and like cash is being pushed in. He goes, my God. Looks like I'm gonna like it here, and then he starts walking forward, and then whoop, he gets pulled out or something. So yes, he saves a person. So let's do the car chase.
All right, so the car chase. So working backwards from that. Okay, so he's gonna wake up on the boat, I guess.
In terms of practically, I'm trying to think of what we need on a character level, and it doesn't feel like
not much, right?
No.
Okay, here we go. All right, so exterior Hong Kong streets. Actually, this is interior cab, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll do interior cab for the first part. Once Jin explains what they're doing, he'll, you know, downshift because there's an infinite number of gears you can downshift to in a car chase. And then we'll do our little, you know, montage of cool driving stuff. He's like, you know, it's another classic move is like the guy in the passenger seat knows that the guy driving is going to drive like a maniac. So he's like, oh boy. And he like buckles up or whatever. Like, I'm trying to think if there's like can tequila, like make another prayer. Can we get something like, again, a little bit of a hint at Jin is a maniac behind the wheel.
Or are they confident with him? How do you want to play it?
They would all be. Okay. Yes. I'm also like, I'm missing whatever the emotional reaction to what just happened is. Right. Because they all fucked up. And then now there's this cop chasing them. So are they angry at each other? Like, what do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you don't want to do because, right, there's a version where it'd be like whiskey's like freaking out and brandy and cognac are chill and tequila leans back. It's like, yo, whiskey, chill out. Jin's got this. And he just like leans back and lights a cigarette and just like, he's like driving. Like, that's one version. You're like, okay, like Jin's really good. They're confident with it. And then the scene turns when like the car is not there or the car's getting arrested or whatever it is. Freak out. That's one way of doing it, which could be fun. It's a way to kind of build Jin up as a badass. And then the other way would be, yeah, they're arguing, which like you do is arguing about like, Jen, why did you throw that car? Your temper always gets the better of you sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Which I guess you could do. Maybe that's fitting too, but it feels like we kind of got that.
Let's see. The last thing that happened was he threw the phone and then it's like, oh shit. And then now this cop sees them and the gun went off and they are driving away. Right.
Yeah. Maybe Tequila is like, you know, the temper, like again, would maybe give him a scolding.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And then Jin could be like, shut up and buckle your seatbelt, old man. And then like Jin reaches and like buckles the seatbelt for him.
I like Tequila being like, oh my God, I can't believe you. And he's like, you know, kind of frustrated. He's like buckling the seatbelt. And then in the back, they're like, Whiskey's like, wait, sorry, do we need seatbelts? There's not one back. There's like, then hang on. And then you're into it, you know?
There's no seatbelts back here. And Jin smiles like, you don't need seatbelts when I'm driving because I drive super slow at the hard cut. And he's just like, Jin, you got to go faster. It's like, no, man.
No
one's
got their seatbelts on. Seatbelt safety, guys.
No, man, it's Hong Kong police. They're not going to shoot us. Like, we'll just, let's figure this out. Let's talk.
A bullet just shatters the window. Ah! Anyway. You could just, you could, like, he doesn't have a seatbelt. It's just Whiskey and Cognac just both, like, just stick out arm bars. Yeah. Like, and he's just holding on to their arms for dear life.
That's
like,
fine. Ah! I like that. I like that.
Okay, seatbelt drama, sure. How does Jin feel about this outburst that he just getting him into trouble, right? So, like, he's got to be mad at himself that he fucked up like this, right?
I mean, he might be mad at himself. I don't think he expresses it by getting fucking, he's going to fix this.
He's gripping the wheel.
Yeah, he's gripping the wheel and he goes
angry
in.
Angry driving, yes.
He would be like, not this line, but it would be like a, you know, give me a lecture later. Well, you know, would be kind of his, like, he's like, again, essentially, like, I know
up.
I fucked up, shut up, let me fix this.
He's like, save it.
Yeah, I think you're playing with Tequila. I think the emotional response is from Tequila. He says something, Jin replies, and they start buckling back. I feel like Brandy and Cognac are both professionals that have probably been in this situation before. They are just I feel like they are bracing themselves, and then you have Whiskey being like, I don't have a seatbelt, and then they do the thing, and they hold it, and like, that's their moment.
Okay,
I think you just let Tequila be the response. We can't do like every scene where it's like all five people say something.
Yes.
He's like, I'm disappointed in you, and then Brandy goes like, as long as I get nice clothes at the end of this, and then... Whiskey's punching people.
Okay.
Oh, you know what would be fun? Okay, this is a small detail, right? But like, I'm looking at some of these cabs, and a lot of them will have, you know, these like suction cups for phone holders and stuff like that. If he's like, you and your thing, and he's punching in the directions for him and like popping it on the thing, so he has like, he's helping him out because he knows
that's
that
cool. You know? I like that he's got the directions to the park and go. That's cool. Yes, you and your temper as he punches the GPS. And then Jin can just say, everybody buckle up.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butts.
And then, we see click, click, click. And then he's got like, oh, I don't have a seatbelt. And then they just stick their arms out and he holds on. Ah! And then he stomps on the gas. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it click, click, boom? Or is it?
Is it ba with da ba, bang da bang?
Is it like a cool screenwriting thing where you just be like, I'm going to get every lyric from Saliva's click, click, boom into this?
Screenplay in order?
Yeah, in order at some point.
Okay, all right. Can we please do a Kiki's Delivery Service AMV set to click, click, boom called click, click, broom?
That's very good.
Freddie, can you put that, just do that and put it on the Rocket Jump channel immediately.
Click, click,
click,
boom.
There's
click,
no explanation.
Boom.
Snip, snip, groom.
It's a barber. That's the name of my barber shop. My pet barber shop is called Snip, groom. Snip, groom.
Jin drives like a bat out of hell.
Jin flies like a bat out of hell. Bats don't drive. Mixed
Touché.
Metaphors. Mixed metaphors.
Car chases are very hard.
Why is that?
Car chases, even more than big explosions to me, are like a you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like, I feel like it is very, very hard to make a car chase feel unique and interesting and not just like, okay, I'm watching money get spent on a car chase.
Yeah, it's like
the problem with a car chase is always that you can't see the person in the car. So no matter how exciting it is, there's a cinematic.
Well, that was
language
actually what
where,
was
like,
so good about Death Proof was that Quentin Tarantino had the very smart idea of put the person on the outside of the car.
Yep.
Like, and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I am fucking
That's
invested.
Why horse races are already more interesting because the person's on the horse and you can see them, so they're people fighting instead of just two toys fighting.
Yes.
And you always have to cut into
beautiful pieces of American muscle.
That's cool, but you always have to cut in.
Head to head. No, I don't need that.
You always have to cut out of the action to see the person in the action.
Yeah,
so it's
then
like
they're
inherently
doing
visually
one of, they're doing one of three things. They're steering the wheel,
grimacing,
downshifting, or stomping the gas or brakes.
Yeah.
Now, fellas, what if all of our car chases were convertibles, though?
I mean, convertibles definitely help.
How do we make this a good car chase? Because it's not going to be long, right? But it's like, I don't want to just write, Jin is cool and drives a car.
So there's two ways, right? When we think about the most memorable car chases, there's kind of two things that they do.
What are the good ones to you?
Well, to me, like stuff like Ronin and the Italian Job does, or even the Bourne, second Bourne movie, they do stuff with where they are, right? So like downstairs, right? They're driving through subways or whatever, right? Like by putting it in interesting locations, all of a sudden you're like, oh, hold on. I've never seen a car chase. I've seen the car chase in a parking lot.
I've never seen a car there. But that's actually a good point, because the Blues Brothers one is the mall where they blasted the mall. It's right, like iconic. Right.
A really good one is, and it's better than the Matrix one, is Bad Boys 2.
Yes.
Bad Boys 2, there's two things it does really well. One, the fact there's two people in the car means that a vast majority of the fun, comedy, and conflict can actually be between two people.
Yes.
Like the problem with like just two people in separate cars is they can't have any conflict outside of the cars. They're just the cars are hitting and you cut to them grimacing.
And you get the boring ass scene, and I hate this in movies, where it's like one guy swerves his car into the other one. It jostles it lightly. The other guy swerves it back. Yeah. It's like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
It works when in the Ben-Hur chariot race.
Can you imagine?
It doesn't work inside two Dodge Chargers.
Could you imagine cutting a punching scene, like a car chase scene? You'd have to cut to the fist hitting off screen and then cut to the person like, ugh, responding. Like, yeah, you can't.
I would love to see a fucking fight edited like a boxing scene, as if every shot of the person's face was like the body was their car.
Yeah, you had to like cut to a separate thing.
And then you would cut to them clenching their fist or like putting their dukes up.
Yeah.
And then
the fun of it is that scene is loaded with a bunch of conflicts separate from the actual car chase itself, which is kind of a binary thing. Like, are they going to make it there or not?
Right.
It's Will Smith cares about his nice car. Mm-hmm. So like, that's fun. You just get a lot of fun stuff with Martin Lawrence shooting up the passenger seat, and he's obviously avoiding these cars because he won't get hit, and he gets more and more angry as his car gets messed up. And then Martin Lawrence is fun because he's just terrified, so he has no business being in this car chase, so he's a distraction, and he hurts it.
All of that, there's
you get these shit you've never seen before, like a boat in the middle of a car chase getting thrown on
and
freeway.
The idea of using like cars themselves as obstacles is again just visually and cinematically
interesting. And then there's just fun conflict outside of just the traditional car chase stuff. Like, you have something going on with the two characters in the car.
So what they're trying to do to sum that up, what they're trying to do here is they're trying to get away from the cops, right?
Yes.
So the beats and the flow of it is like, it's avoidance, it's stealth, it's like trying to hide, it's trying to blend, right? It's the fun of Thomas Crown Affair. It's blending in with other cabs. It's, you know, that sort of thing, right? So there's that element to it.
You do that. There's also an element, like, again, you have five people in the car, like, do you build a conflict? Like, again, I was getting to is also like, you can build a simple conflict within the car that causes a complication for Jin. Like, right. You only do so many complications about avoiding cars, you can increase the complications. Like, again, it's a complication for Will Smith that Martin Lawrence shoots his passenger seat of the car he likes.
Right.
Like, so that's actually, weirdly enough, more of an obstacle and is more of a beat than, like, the car is falling on him.
Right,
you know he's going to swerve through them.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, you know what you could do is you could have someone whoever had the shotgun in it tries to shoot at the cops and they blow out the back windshield. But then the problem with that is then later on they try and blend in with a bunch of cabs, and it's just like only one has the windshield totally blown out. Like,
Well, that's also why we had an instinct originally, which, you know, we're gonna keep going and we'll figure something out. But like, that was kind of the instinct of like having like the mob boss call or the mom call during the car chase, because that's another thing to like. Then that becomes, there is a character conflict about this phone call that they're experiencing, and then that also adds to the complication of the fact that this is happening while he's trying to concentrate and surf through traffic.
Yeah, the only trick with that is always like,
I know.
Why does he answer the call during a fucking car chase?
Exactly. If you do it the wrong way, again, that's why we didn't do it. And it's right. You also don't want to undermine the action by essentially like, oh, if he's willing to take a call, it can't be that serious.
Yes.
There's only one movie that did that the right way, which was Crank. When Jason Statham's on the phone and it's a low angle passenger seat shot of him driving, and they do not do the shot of him blowing into a mall. They just stay on the low angle shot, and just you just see outside suddenly change to inside.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What?
Yeah, they don't cut to an outside shot of the cool like car blasting through the doors. They just stay in the car and then you just realize you're inside and you hear a crash. You're like, oh shit, he just go into a mall. It's very funny.
But the point of that one, though, but again, to speak to what your point is, the point of that one is that call is more important than
what's going on, and they
literally cinematically make that point, because they're like, we don't even care that he's doing something cool.
Okay, so to that point, rather than just like, oh, what are we gonna do that's funny, or what are we gonna do, so what cinematic point are we trying to make with this car chase?
I think
it's that he is competent.
Yeah,
at
practice
his
levels,
job.
He's good. He's a good driver.
So
good driver.
Him being okay. So we're gonna write these down. So
I think you would also see that this is where he does concentrate. Like he is a good driver because this is. If you're
this
probably
is what he cares
like,
about.
Yes, this is. If this was Fast and Furious, it'd be like all my, you know, all my cool posturing and stuff, and all my insecurities disappear when I can focus on the road. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Again, he's a guy. He probably thrives in a way like when he's this adrenaline is the only thing. Like this is would be his drug to a degree. Mm-hmm. Like this is the only thing that makes him feel like he can stay focused. So like that's probably why he's good. And so he's always looking for that. When he's not pushing pedal to the metal, he's, you know, smoking a cigarette and acting like an asshole.
Okay, so he's good. This is what he cares about. He's in his zone here, right? So
is he reckless? Like again, we talk a lot that the smartest thing they do in Casino Royale and the whole best thing is just like a very simple character study of James Bond is just the fact that he's chasing this elegant parkour master and James Bond breaks
blows through
walls.
The sidewall. Yeah.
I guess it's a really elegant way of showing character, like through action.
Getting stuff done. What type of getaway
yes,
driver?
Is this a guy who's like freaking doing like drifts
yeah,
and like barely
drifts
touching
and
like
finessing? Yeah,
he's like an inch away from like a curb and like, you know, because right there's a version where you're doing almost like gags where like he's sophisticated and doesn't hit anything. And there's another one where it's like this guy fucking drives through parking meters and smashes into shit to like cause stuff.
To
in
me,
front of
he's
cops.
A finesse guy.
Yeah, like, I think so. Yeah. I think it's finesse.
To me, it's like the thing where he does a drift and it like knocks the cigarette out of someone's
yes,
hand.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Like, you do some crazy stuff like that.
It's like so precise, you know?
Because that's okay. Oh, because it's going to be all the. Make the wreck at the end all the more brutal. If
yes,
he's
exactly.
been there's not a scratch on the car by the end of this car chase. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
There's like a couple fighting and then like he drifts in away and then he like looks and he sees the guy like yelling at the woman and he's like he just slightly so his car barely hits a puddle and just splashes on just the guy. It's like
what is this? They tried to share a yogurt, not on my watch.
Somebody's about to post something problematic on Twitter and then he hits a mud spot and it splats on their screen and they go, oh yeah, no, I'm gonna cool off before I post that.
It also feels like he is going out of his way not to hurt innocence, right? He's gonna be
I don't know that you want to see that.
Yeah, no, that's
I think
fair.
You should wonder what
that's
he's
fair, that's
do,
fair, that's
you
fair,
know
that's
what I mean?
Fair, that's fair, that's fair.
So I think it's just like he's like untouchable, right?
Yeah.
And then it's oh shit. And then there's also the irony that like the entire Hong Kong police could not stop this guy, but one old lady could by wandering into the middle of the street.
So it feels like the way you do that, so it's not just like him being perfect, like it'd be like slick, like clever. Like he has an exit plan.
He has a bunch of like routes planned.
Yeah, it's like weird tricks. Like you would
is
like,
it like a little bit like Collateral where he's like the Wan Chai Tunnel is going to be like better now, right? Like he's timing
3:15
or whatever. Yeah, right? Like he checks the clock. He sees he's coming and he checks the clock and he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "What? Stop looking at your watch. Like keep your eyes on the road." He's like, "Hold on." In 20 seconds, this is going to happen. So he makes a course adjustment or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, he like power drifts into like a car wash that he knows, and they go through on those automated car wash and see all the cops drive by, and he's just like chilling. He's like, "Calm down, guys, we got a few minutes." And it's like they're smoking cigarettes, they're getting in the car. He's like, poof! He goes blazing out like newly washed. The cops are like, "Where did he go? He disappeared," you know, sort of thing. Like he knows all these like, it's like the Grand Theft Auto like parking garages and stuff. Like I just feel like you want him to have like a cool like. Like almost like he's like doing like weird like Rube Goldberg type things in the city that like he knows
very,
this stuff.
Well,
this
or he's like using a timing for a tram so that he gets behind it.
I've never seen this before. Okay, what if you do? They do this whole zany chase and then they wind up in a car wash and they're slowly moving into the car wash and then the cops wind up in the car wash behind them, right? And then the cops like, "He's up to something." And you know, the cops like get out and like sneak up to the car during the car wash and then they rip the doors open and they're gone. There's no one in the car and then they've all jumped into the cop car and they speed off in the cop car.
How about all their money? Oh, I guess they grabbed all their money with them.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little weird.
I'm like, how would they do a switcheroo? I've just never seen a car. I've never seen a car chase go through. Like the tense waiting part is them going through the car.
Like the cops at the car wash too. Like, shit, why are we in here?
All right. So here's what I think then. I think what you need to do is you establish he has an escape plan, right? Like he has like, if we got caught by the cops, like I know how to lose the cops, right? So he's got some plan for losing them.
Yes.
And then we are going to see him, you know, through various derring do, overcome obstacles to get to that objective.
Yeah.
And then inches from the escape, he's going to wreck the car, right? So we were talking about, like, is there a jump, right? That is, like, if you, there's a parking garage next to the water, and if you go up the parking garage and ramp it, you're going to be able to land on a garbage float as it drifts by.
Okay, you do something like that. I think the way you could also clarify without like getting into like the mob boss calling, and you can also kind of see how Tequila cares about the family most. You might do a moment that yes, they are at a place that feels like they are trapped. They are there's nothing they can do. Mm-hmm. And Tequila's response is, "We need a bail." like get out of the car and run and just, you know, meet up later or whatever. And somebody would be like, we can't carry all. It's like, leave the money. We got to get out of here. And it's like, if we leave the money, we're screwed. Like, if we stay here, we're dead and caught or whatever. And then Jin's the one's like, guys, I got this. And then he does it. And you just get that moment where it's like, that way you can kind of clarify, like, if they don't get the money to somebody, they're dead anyways. Like, let them argue a little bit. Like, there's nowhere to go. So they all argue for a second. Like, Bane's like, whatever, we'll just shoot the cops. It's like, we'll be dead. It's like, we just got bail. We can't carry all the cash to leave it. If we don't get it to the mob boss, we're dead anyways. And just like, everybody, I got this. You just get a quick second. And you're like, okay, I get it. Like, it's very, they need this money. Tequila cares about his people. Like, can you get a little bit of that? And then Jin's confident and fucking does something miraculous. And Tequila's like, you saved our butts, man. He's like, no problem. And he sees the old lady.
Oh, you know what'd be a cool fun thing you can do? Hong Kong has like a big double-decker tram system. Mm-hmm. You can do a thing where he like gets onto the tracks and uses the cars to hide where he is, right? So he does a thing where...
Oh, this is the one they do the foot chase and the killer. It ends on one of these trams.
Yes, correct.
Or the police... Isn't this a police story too?
Police story, I think.
This is a double-decker bus, I think.
They have the double-decker buses because of the British thing, but they also have the tramway. There's like a whole like a rail double-decker tram route, which is fun because you can do a thing where he like...
He's hiding the car in the trams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like in between two trams. Like, there's sections where it's just trams only. And it's like they go and the cops are looking for him and he's like right on the side and they look up and there's like a little kid like waving at them and stuff. And, you know,
that's cool.
So he's using it to hide. They're in a tough spot. He's like, all right, I know how to get out of here. And he hops onto the rails of the tramway and then you show that the police lose him once they're
there, you know, it's too bad. It's tough because it's like we need them to wreck. The coolest escape would be if he hides in the trams and then they all jump out of the taxi and sneak into the tram from the taxi. And then they're just in this double-decker bus now. And then the cops find an empty taxi cab and they're like, shit, they got onto the anyway.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
You wouldn't use it here, obviously, because that's, you know...
And then the tram almost hits a lady and he swerves it into the
walk. He's like, hey, sorry, buddy. I need to drive this tram. It's got to go to our bad guy hideout. Then the lady, I just feel like I wanted to do like a jump or something, though.
Or to build up to a jump. Like you would.
It'd be something like, not exactly this, but it's like if for some reason he drove up to like the top of like a 3-story parking structure or whatever, and they thought there was an exit and there's not. And they're up there and the cops come up there. And it's like, we got bail. We got to run down these stairs and go. And he's looking around. He's like, I got this. And he backs up and he goes flying off the parking structure. And there's like a big grassy hill and he lands there perfectly and like skids down the hill and then ends up on a road, drives. And then the cops are like, what do we do? And one cop even tries to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the cop car just flips
the
over and over.
Cop tries it and can't do it.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, he just does some crazy, like, skillful, like, hero jump that gets him out of there. And the cops are also in the situation where it's like,
it's
going to take them a long time to drive back down the parking structure. So there's nothing.
Here's what you would do. Okay, what about this? You do that. Okay, yeah, well, this is the classic. I feel like I maybe saw this in something, but at any rate, you would do that. He's getting chased. He Tokyo drifts. He slides around the corner and now there's cops coming behind him and in front of him, right? Yeah. He's closed in and then there's cops coming around the sides too, right? Yeah. So it's like they're being closed in on and everyone's like,
the only place to turn is into the parking structure. Like, you're like the only reason you run up to the roof is like if you have another place to go.
He has nowhere to go. And everyone's like, shit, what do we do? They think they're fucked because the cops have surrounded them.
Yeah.
And then they go up the parking garage. He already knows what he's going to do when he's going up there.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think the cleanest moment to me is just on top of this parking structure roof, the only exit down is full of cop cars and they're just sitting there and like they have very visually, like you do the wide shot looking at the roof. It's like there's nowhere for them to go. And what are they going to do? Drive off 3 stories? Like the car's just going to flip and crash or whatever.
I guess in that case, I don't understand why they went into the parking garage in the first place.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like a decision moment. It's a sheer, he is driving and all of a sudden they turn a corner and there's like a roadblock and there's cars behind them and the only place to turn is like, he just turns to avoid hitting a roadblock, and the only thing he can do is he's just forced. It's like a cat. It's like chasing something into a dead end.
Oh, I see.
Like he's chased into a dead end. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're gonna go up. I got a plan.
That could be cool. You could do. There's like a car accident.
Yeah.
You're like there's traffic, right? Like that's a nice like. Hey, there's nothing you can fucking do. Like they're like the. And then he sees the crazy idea and he does it. Yes. And it's some rad fucking jump that involves blasting out of the 3rd story window of the garage. And then, yes, you know, fucking, landing on some hill and then weaving.
Oh, you know, we do a double decker bus is going. So when he leaps off, like literally he like taps off the double decker bus that gives him the extra distance to like go on the thing.
When people do jumping
off the bridge to land on a bus, do that with a car where like
he lands on top of a,
and then keeps driving.
Wouldn't
then
that crush the bus?
Yeah. I mean, it causes him, it wouldn't crush it.
If you do like a double decker tram, like, you know, the roof, it'd be fun. Like that's a fun thing where it's
like going like this
And yeah, he goes, it's passing along underneath, and he jumps, or he jumps onto it and rides it for a little bit, and then pulls off of it or something.
But yeah, something like that. I feel like I feel like he uses it to like.
Or it's the classic thing would be it's two buses going the opposite way of each other. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so for a split second they form a road.
It's that cool Buster Keaton moment where there's a hole in the bridge and the truck goes and fills the gap for a split second.
There's the two trucks or a bus. Okay, yes, that's fucking cool. And then he backs out and does a midair reverse 180 and lands the thing and does the thing and then gets out. They're like, woohoo! And then they see the old lady and he flips the car.
And then, one of the cop cars tries to jump, but the two buses aren't there. So he just, the cop car just drops onto the street and, smashes itself.
Okay, so very, very good. Very good. With the old lady, how does he, what does this moment look like? He's driving, she steps out into the road. We go into slow-mo, I feel like, right? He's looking at this old woman. He's got his car.
It feels like it's like a no-win scenario. He looks to one side. It's a crowd of people, a crowd of school children crossing the street.
I would do that. The other options are like himself. Like if he turns left, he's going to hit oncoming traffic. And then right, it's like the ocean.
Oh, they're driving alongside the ocean, essentially. And then she steps out into the street and he's like, fuck. And then he winces and throws the wheel. Okay, cool. I got it all laid out. We'll read it after the break. But the one last thing I need.
Yes.
Right before the old lady steps out, everyone's cheering. Tequila gives him the pat on the back. And I feel like you want some kind of cocky line from Jin right before the old lady steps out.
He goes, heh.
Told you I could live forever. Or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Nothing could stand in my way. Even an innocent person, I would run them over because I'm a badass. And then he sees the old lady, and then as they're flying in the car, he cuts to slow motion, and Tequila's like, you said you would run over an innocent lady. He's like, I guess I'm not as badass as I think I am. Told you to
see, you had nothing to worry about.
Seatbelts.
Yeah, he didn't really say anything like that, though. So I'm trying to, like, it's like, normally it would be like, he'd tee it up. Like, if we had in that opening scene, him being like, I mean,
you could just do a, I got this. And then at the end, it's like, I told you I had it.
Papa's going to be home for dinner.
Looks like Papa's going to be home for dinner.
Tequila gives Jen.
New sentences every day here on Story Break.
Tequila gives Jen a proud mind on the shoulder.
God. Okay, we have a moment earlier. Yeah, you could have him say, like, relax, I got this.
Yeah, and then here it's just a, see?
See?
Told you, nothing to worry about.
It's so hacky.
I know but like it's...
No, it's hacky.
Maybe we don't need a line?
I don't think you need... He just smiles. How about he just lights up a cigarette?
What about everyone's...
That's the way he shows... Yeah.
He starts driving with his knees. Oh, you'll be cool. Puts his knees on the wheel and then pulls out a cigarette.
Yeah, he pulls out a cigarette, and just as he's about to light it, he sees the old lady.
You know, he starts it by dousing his cigarette. Like he starts the chase.
Yes, and that's a cool moment, right?
He's like, I got to concentrate now. So he puts out the cigo.
You know what he does when he starts the car chase? He just puts the cigarette in his mouth. So he has it in his mouth, but it's not lit. And then when he gets there, he's like, and he pulls out the lighter. It's like a little reward for him at the end.
Oh, that's cool.
Because it's like, God knows.
He's got fat stogie.
Yeah, no, stogie.
Oh, so this is his move right before he gets into a car chase as he pops a cigarette.
Yeah,
and
he's
puts
like,
it
he's got to live
mouth.
Long enough. He's got to live long enough.
Yeah, he's got to smoke it.
Yeah, he can't smoke it until he gets there.
We're done.
All right.
When we come back.
Scene 4.
The dramatic reading of scene 4, the car chase.
The car chase.
We got to think of a cool title for this episode, too. Okay.
I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
Will you change your mind for too many times? Over and over again. Over and over again.
Interior taxi cab day. Sirens howl around the cab as the cops pursue our criminal crew from all sides. Jin grips the wheel and adjusts his mirrors, getting a good look at the cops behind him.
Everybody buckle up.
Tequila shakes his head.
You and your temper.
Seatbelts click as tequila, cognac, and brandy buckle up. Whiskey looks down in fear as he realizes he doesn't have a seatbelt.
I don't have a seatbelt.
Brandy and cognac stick their arms out in front of him. Whiskey holds onto them for dear life. Jin draws a deep breath, steadying his nerves. He pulls out an unlit cigarette and sticks it between his lips. He exhales and stops the gas. As he spins the wheel and throws the cab around a corner, we kick off a bitchin' car chase. Exterior, Hong Kong day. Jin flies like a bat out of hell through the crowded streets of Hong Kong. His moves are slick, cunning, precise. Hairpin maneuvers, daring drifts, audacious hair-raising shortcuts down blind alleys and through oncoming traffic. Behind him, cops in pursuit wreck and spin out. But that traffic cop, riding her motorcycle with a steely glare, sticks to them through it all like glue. Jin furrows his brow and grips the wheel tight, the traffic cop still hot on their trail. He makes a sharp turn onto a busy street and finds himself hurtling towards a bumper-to-bumper traffic jam. Jin slams on the brakes, barely avoiding a wreck. Up the street, two buses have collided in an intersection. This is why you read your script out loud. Up the street, two buses have collided in an intersection. The drivers yell at each other as everyone honks their horns. Interior, cab, day. With no way forward and the cops closing in fast behind, the crew begins to panic.
Oh, we're trapped. We'll run for it.
We're dead. Just stay calm.
But Tequila looks to Jin with worry in his eyes. Jin narrows his focus, scanning the environment as the sirens grow louder, and he spots his exit plan. Jin shifts into reverse, floors it, weaving backwards through the oncoming cops, and pulls into a nearby parking garage. Interior parking garage / interior cab day. Jin zooms through the parking garage, climbing higher and higher.
Jin?
Shut up and hang on.
The traffic cop snarls as she revs her engine, pursuing them up through the garage, two police cars behind her. Exterior parking garage, roof, day. The cab zooms out onto the roof of the parking garage. Jin punches the gas and the cab speeds straight towards the wall. A look of fear fills the traffic cop's eyes as she realizes what they're about to do. Interior cab day. The gangsters scream as Jin rams the cab through the wall and sends them flying through the air. Exterior Hong Kong streets day. The cab sails off of the three-story parking garage towards the intersection below and lands on top of the empty double-decker buses driving across their roofs before landing on the opposite side of the intersection, leaving the cops trapped in the traffic jam on the other side. Exterior parking garage roof day. The traffic cop skids to a halt at the edge of the roof. She watches the cab speeding off into the distance below. Enraged, she lets out a scream and fires her pistol into the air like Keanu Reeves in Point Break.
Is this traffic cop going to be a character that comes back?
I don't know. I'm obsessed with her now. Interior cab day. The gangsters give a raucous, triumphant cheer. Whiskey turns green, about to hurl. Tequila gives Jin a proud pat on the shoulder. Jin suppresses a grin. He looks down at the unlit cigarette in his lips. With a cocky, relaxed smile, he pulls out a Zippo and sparks up a flame. Just then, an old lady steps out onto the road in front of them. Cue super slow motion. Jin stares at the old woman. For the first time, fear fills his face. He scans the environment. To the left, a wall of oncoming traffic. To the right, the churning waters of Kowloon Bay. Ahead of him, the old woman looks up and locks eyes with Jin. Jin winces, grips the wheel, and spins it to the right in slow motion. The cab veers sharply, clips the curb.
Sorry. Small point. It'd be to the left, because it's Hong Kong as they drive on the left.
Oh, okay.
CinemaSins Freddy at it again.
In Hong Kong, the ocean is always on the left. In slow motion, the cab veers sharply, clips the curb, goes into a roll, smashes through a guardrail, and careens into Kowloon Bay. As the cab hits the water, we cut to black.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I feel like when you shoot this, it'd be like Jin looks up and he sees the old lady and it goes in super slow motion and she like kind of shakes her head like, don't hit me. He goes, ugh. And he turns left. And as he turns left, you see the oncoming traffic. He goes, ugh. And then he turns right. Then he sees the bay. He's like, ugh. And he turns back to the old lady. She's like, no. And he shrugs like, I'm sorry. I got nowhere to go. And she puts her hands up like, please, no. He's like, ugh. And then he turns. He's like,
very,
play
very
all
intense 4-minute scene there.
You really understand what's going on.
That's like the Naked Gun version.
Yeah, the Naked Gun version. Like, please.
No.
She's like, I'm sorry.
Just getting closer and closer and closer.
All right.
Well.
All right.
That's all
right,
a car chase, y'all.
Car chase now. Okay, so now we got
so
to
Will,
the next
your thoughts
scene.
On car chase?
No, we promised the audience we would do two scenes. We got to keep going.
We will scream and rage and fire our story pistols into the air as that next scene slips into next week.
Yes, as usual.
Okay, yeah. What do you guys, I don't know, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting it in fade in, and like so far we've written like 10 pages of a script.
How about that?
Yeah, man, you know, it's kicking. Got a heist, got a car chase. You know, the movie's not gonna be a big action movie for the rest of it. Like, you know, you're getting a bunch of stuff, and now we're gonna get into the conceit, the heaven, the world of heaven. You know, it's not bad to like, he's gonna get out of heaven in like 8 or so pages, so like 15 pages of all this, and then popping out of heaven, be like, we got Rob Heaven. It's pretty good.
So if we're talking about 5X script, this is essentially your inciting incident is wrecking the car and winding up in heaven, right? Yeah. So you're saying we're on like page 10 right now?
Yeah, we're on page essentially 10.
Okay, so that's actually, we're moving at a good pace.
Yeah, we're moving at a good pace. It's kicking along.
Clipping along here,
it's the first draft. There's, you know, you'll get more, you'll imbued it with more character and stuff here and there, but I think it's turned out pretty good so far.
Yeah, not bad. So that's going to do it for us this week. If I sound a little bit reverberant and a little bit different, it's because I am recording this in the somewhat reverberant kitchen of the Airbnb I am staying at. I'm traveling these next couple of weeks, so it's just me here finishing up the episode and doing the outros and telling you a little bit about the fine fan art that continues to happen. Want to give a shout out to Amy Johnston at Odd Amity. She continues to write the Chicken Cross the Road adaptation. It just hit chapter 3. Check out our Twitter for that. And continuing to write that, which is really awesome to see someone taking the outline that we did for Story Break and just having at it and doing a story. Also, another shout out to Miami at MZUUI, a little pretentious fan art. Not my words. That's what it says in the tweet. I don't think it's pretentious. I think it's pretty cool. A little 3-panel comic of Jin laid back in his boat. And an inspirational quote, which is, you can get what you want, which is to be alone forever. I think Jin will change by the end of that. But very, very cool piece of art there. And also shout out to Penichillin, Nikki, who's done some fine work both for Storybreak as well as Dungeons & Daddies. Did a a motivational poster for Matt's quote from episode 30 about how the shape of Iron Man is very sexy. And also did a very cool, so we call these rip reels. And you make these for when you want to convey the tone of like a project that you're doing by taking a bunch of different movies and putting together the clips of them and cutting together like it was one contiguous trailer. And I can tell you right now, having done a few of these in my time, these are a lot of work. So thank you, Nikki at Penichillin, for that. Thanks again also to MaximumFun.org for having us on their fine podcast network. Head over to MaximumFun.org to take a look at all the other podcasts on the network, and they are all fantastic podcasts. Anyway, just me alone in the kitchen now, so I'll just say, boy, oh boy, air conditioning is great because I'm in Texas and it's warm and humid here. We'll see you all next week.
Hi, it's me, Paula Poundstone.
And it's me, Adam Felber.
We have a podcast called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's a comedy podcast where we bring on experts to teach us stuff we need to know.
And by the way, the guy who came to tell us what to do when you encounter a bear never showed up.
Anyway, it's fun. You are guaranteed laughs in every episode.
You can't really guarantee laughs. What if somebody doesn't laugh? We'll get sued.
Join us for our next episode where we have an expert in consumer law explain to us how to defend ourselves against one humorless, litigious shut-in with enough time on their hands to sue us over our unfulfilled claim of guaranteed laughs in every episode here at MaximumFun.org.
The Cat of the Week is Mabel from Green Bank, West Virginia.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.